Thank you, pastors. Really a pleasure to be together worshiping who tonight? Worshiping Jesus. No place we'd rather be than to sit at His feet. Amen. And to be in a safe place, a place where the wisdom of God, the love of God, the power of God, the grace of God flows freely in this place. Amen. People from all walks of life, all places, all faces, all backgrounds, we love Jesus in this house. Is that right? Hallelujah. I want to share with you a little message tonight. And when Pastor asked me to share tonight, I had an immediate response from my heart. It was something that actually Pastor Brenda said in her message. And this came from John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32 in the Message version. I'm going to read that as an opening scripture. It says that then Jesus turned to the Jews who had claimed to believe in Him. He said, "If you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. Then you will experience for yourselves the truth, and what will happen? The truth will free you." Hallelujah. And one of the things that really, she said it over and over, and it was really the Spirit of God in her saying this. And she said, you've got to stick with it. You've got to stick with it. She says, the problem with many people today is that they don't stick with anything. They don't stick with their job, their education, their church, their relationships. They just don't stick with anything. And it's just a culture of just cutting loose. And so tonight, I just feel to address the situation and the human condition that we seem to stick with or hold on to things that we ought to let go of, and we let go of things that we ought to hang on to. And so tonight I'm just kind of kicking off a theme that's kind of fun, and the general theme, and if I get a chance to minister again, I'm sure it'll build on it, but it's something that has risen in my heart over the years, and it is, you've got to know when to hold them, and you've got to know when to fold them. Know when to hold them, and know when to fold them. And you see, I have noticed in, like Brother Keith Hershey says, I've noticed in my little life that our success in life depends largely on what we determine to hold on to. Are you holding on to the right thing? And what we choose to let go of. You have to choose what you're hanging on to and choose what you're letting go of. Amen. Amen. It can't be passive. And I mentioned this in a previous time of sharing that I've learned that there are a couple of things that are finite. One of them is time. You only have so much time. So we're asking God to help us redeem the time. Amen, somebody? And I said, I'm not old, but I'm getting older. And time seems to be flying faster, if you know what I'm talking about. But the other thing that seems to be limited is space. We have given a certain amount of space to operate in, and you can't hang on to everything. You've got to let some things go, Mike. I mean, come on. Come on already. I'm preaching to the choir. Where's me? I got a good amen on her that last time. Well, I'll come over here to the sister. You got to let go of some things, don't you?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. But see, tonight, I'm focusing on you've got to know when to hold them. That's my focus tonight. Maybe another time if I get to share, I'll minister on you got to know when to fold them. But here's some thoughts along this line, and this is by way of introduction. And one of the first things that, of course, we need in the culture of this church is we need to learn how to take hold of God. There's a culture in this church that I'm not letting go until I meet with you. I've got to see your face. I've got to sense your presence. I'm not letting go of this Bible till you talk to me. I'm not leaving until I sense your presence. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I just brought by way of a little bit of a scripture. Isaiah 64:7, it says this, and there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth himself up to take hold of thee. And that's as far as I want to go. You see, even stating that means that there is a responsibility, and you might even say a right and a purpose, to stir yourself up to take hold of God. And there are many people in this church. You don't have to go through a whole lot of folks in this church before you find one that's really stirred up about clinging to God and holding fast to Him. Hallelujah. You don't find God by accident. You have to be a seeker of God. Amen. And you don't just kind of casually find the Word. You have to look for the Word. You've got to listen for the Word. You've got to treasure and value the Word when He speaks to your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. So we've got to stir ourselves up. That's one thing that you could take hold of. Here's another thing about hanging on to, and that's sound words. 2 Timothy 1:13. Apostle Paul saying, "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." The Amplified Version says, "Wholesome and sound teaching." You know, it's a pleasure to be in a house where you're getting sound teaching. I remember the words of one of the prophet of God, Brother Dufresne, came here. One of the things I heard him say just seared into me. He said, "This is a safe place. This is a safe place." And these are safe pastors. You have a safe staff. Hallelujah. I feel good about that. I don't know about you. But the word that comes forth from this pulpit is something that is to be treasured. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And I want to go back, speaking of teaching and being submitted to the teaching that we're hearing. Notice what Jesus said. I'm just going to skip back to that first scripture. Then Jesus turned to the Jews who had claimed to believe in Him. He said, "If you stick with this, living out what I tell you, or living out what I teach you." When pastors encourage us or admonish us when we wake up to get up on the dance floor, when you get up tomorrow morning, how many of us got on the dance floor? I got on the dance floor so much that I began irritating my wife. I did. Come on, honey. You got to tell him. I did. I was just dancing and dancing. And she goes like, "Okay, all right." Oh, and it kept going on and on and on and on. She goes like, "Okay, okay." But that's for our own admonition. When He tried to train us to let go of things, like let go of offense, that's part of another message, but let go of offense. Or when they admonish us to get ready, Pastor Mark was preaching on Sunday morning, you got to be prepared, you got to be ready. What kind of people does God use? He uses people that are ready. We've got to prepare, is that right? So, you know, it's like, respond to the teaching. Jesus said, if you do, or you stick with what I'm teaching you, it's not supposed to go in one ear and out the other. We're supposed to do something. Amen. Hallelujah. Thought I'd get a better amen than that. Okay, anyway. Look what it said in 2 Timothy 1:13, it says, hold fast to the form of sound words and wholesome and sound teaching. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, hold on to that which is good. There's a lot of things that are not that good or mediocre. We need to be able to be discerning enough to let go. If you're listening, I know that's not my message tonight, but if you listen carefully, you'll find our pastors kind of saying stuff like, you know, you got to kind of turn off the news. You know, you've got to kind of turn off the talking heads and hit your prayer closet. We've got to learn how to hold on to good things and let go of things that are not edifying. Amen. Just saying. Hallelujah. Just a preface tonight. Hold on to that which is good. Now, here's one in Hebrews chapter 3, 5 through 7 in the King James. We're encouraged to hang on to confidence and watch this and rejoicing. Moses verily was faithful in all his house. Hebrews 3, verse 5. His house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as the son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast, watch, to what? The confidence and the rejoicing. The confidence and. Confidence and the rejoicing. A lot of people might come up to me like, come on already. Like your church is rejoicing all the time. Like, come on. Like, what up with that? You know, it's like we want to kind of sit here and be left alone. Well, actually, there is something to that. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice, said the Apostle Paul. It's easy to let yourself kind of settle down and just kind of really settle down. We've got to stir ourselves up. Hallelujah. Stir yourself up. And I believe in the scripture that says weep with those that weep. I really do. Mourn with those that mourn. But I also believe in the scripture that said, like when David was at Ziklag, it says that he put on the ephod and he encouraged himself in the Lord. We get taught about that all the time. Encourage yourself in the Lord. We're living in the nasty now and now, but we can have heaven on earth if we encourage ourselves in the Lord. There's no good stuff really gonna encourage you out of CNN or MSNBC or Fox or wherever, whatever the flavor of the talking heads are. The encouragement comes from the Spirit of God straight from heaven right into your spirit. And that's where the encouragement comes from. That's where faith comes from. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Good preaching, Brother Tom. Hallelujah. So, you know, hold fast to confidence and rejoicing. So tonight we're going to get into something, but I'm going to go ahead and touch on this confidence. How many of you watched the Giants play recently? That was an incredible hit, you know, by Schmitty at the end, you know, like that. That was crazy. But I've got my eye on Devers. Devers is supposed to deliver a little better than what he's delivering. He's supposed to be, you know, that whole thing that he's going like this and all that, you know. Like, come on, Devers, put it out of here. We need a hit. And he's like, really? Another strikeout? Like, we're praying for him, okay? I'm okay with Devers. I just want a few splash home runs, that's all. But the thought is, you know, sometimes you could see that certain players get in a slump or they're just getting used to the new scenery and they're not really quite catching things. Maybe they're in a different league or a different ballpark or whatever label you want to put on it, and they haven't found their groove yet. You can say, if a pitcher can't find the strike zone, or if a hitter can't put it over the fence or even get a hit like he's used to getting, like we're paying him good money to you, by the way, you could say that they've lost or they're losing their confidence. And they get up to the plate and they strike out. I'm here to tell you, God did not create you to go up to the plate and strike out. God created you to get a splash home run. Hallelujah. That's what he created you for. And your faith will work for you. And God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, that you're also going to reap. And what we're preaching on tonight is not about striking out at the plate. We're preaching tonight about not letting go or holding fast to your faith declarations. That's what we're talking about tonight. It may not come through the way you think or the way you thought. Maybe you're trying to get your flow back in. But you'll know it. God wants your joy and he wants your confidence right up top. So when you come to the plate of life and you go to swing, you know that you're going to connect. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thought some of the sports guys would appreciate that particular. My wife doesn't like sports analogies, whatever. Hebrews 10:22 through 23, King James. Let us draw near with a true heart of, listen, full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us do what? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. I appreciate that pastor's been hitting really basically teachings on faith the last several Sunday mornings. And you know what? We need to hear this. We need to be rock solid. We can't afford to waver. I said we can't afford to waver. It says in God's words translation, verse 23 of Hebrews 10, it says, we must continue to hold firmly what? Our declaration of faith. What is a declaration, saints? First of all, I want to say we need to up the ante on what comes out of your mouth, whether for good or for evil. I mean, you've heard that for years and years, but now it's becoming even more critical that if you're going to make it, if you're going to go up to the plate and you're going to get a hit, hallelujah, you need to watch and have confidence that what you are declaring is first in line with God's Word, inspired by the Spirit of God, and that you are consistent with what you are declaring. Now, listen, there's a difference between saying something and declaring it.
Yes.
Are you with me? There, when you declare something, there is an authority that you're accepting and that you are activating. You are a king and a priest unto God. The priest in worship, the king on the earth declaring things. I need you to know something. When you declare something in faith, inspired by the Holy Spirit, in a time of prayer, or even in, when you're driving in your car and you say, it shall be thus and so, because God has anointed you to speak in that position, it shall come to pass.
Yes.
It shall come to pass. Let's talk about declaration. The act of making an official statement about something. The act of declaring something. Something that is stated or made known in an official way. It's not just grandma and grandpa, Tom and Kimberly, up in their room, you know, praising the Lord. Hitting the dance floor, you know, praise the Lord. Oh, don't mind them. They're just, you know, it's that guy again. He's doing the dance floor. No, we are declaring things. We're taking authority. What are we doing? We're binding. We're loosing. We're declaring. We're demanding, not of God, but of the devil. And you know, it's pretty amazing. I don't know if you noticed this, but I have in my heart, I have a real desire to see the kingdom of God come in the earth. And when I see wicked people doing wicked things, I get really grieved in my heart. And instead of getting mad at the people, we're encouraged in Scripture to take authority over the spirits. And I want you to know, it's really interesting that it seemed like years of us binding, right, Kathy? Binding and loosing and declaring things in the spirit realm, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Is that right?
Amen.
Is that right, Sarah? She's very spiritual, that young lady right there. How, I can say young lady because I'm a little older. I'm not old. I'm just a little older. Hallelujah. But I know there's faith right there. And see, what we declare and say, He's watching over His word to perform it. Hallelujah. Is that right, Bobby? Is that right or is that right? Carolyn, is that right or is that right? Hallelujah. So in times of prayer, we would declare things. We would say things. We would speak into the spirit realm. And we would say, first of all, this is our word, our declarations, and we're not backing off. All the lies that are being propagated, we take authority over that lying spirit in the name of Jesus. Wherever it's coming from, it doesn't matter what party it's coming from or what network it's coming from. If it's a lie and it's meant to deceive, the devil is the liar and the father of lies. So I have authority. I said, I bind you. And you know, it's really interesting how all of those outlets that spoke a lot of lies, a lot of them began to crumble. Did you notice that? That heads were rolling. Not literally, but you know what I'm saying. A lot of things changed. And we were praying for outlets for truth. God, let truth come forth in the name of Jesus. It's very interesting to me that we prayed like this for years. And I know many of them prayed. I remember the prayer meetings. They used to pray for decades. They would pray over certain things. Don't give up on California. Do not give up on California. I know don't give up on the U.S. of A., but do not give up on California. Don't give up on Oakland. Who's from Oakland around here? Do not give up on Oakland. Do not give up on Hayward. Do not give up on San Leandro. Don't give up on Emeryville. Don't give up on Fremont. Don't give up on Newark. Do not give up on San Jose. God is still God. And if you will hold fast your declarations that are Holy Ghost inspired, the fire of God will fall. And you mark those words, California shall vote heavy in the camp of the Lord. Hallelujah. And I just want to be careful. I'm not just talking politics. Every day, people are making judgments whether they're going to follow after God or not. You know, and I believe that something big is stirring in California. Hallelujah. Don't let go of your faith declarations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, notice, I want you to understand the type of pedigree that you are from. We are born again, born after Christ, or born in the likeness of Christ. We've got that new creation on the inside, and He's encouraged us to exercise authority, right? Now watch this in Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. This is our Heavenly Father. Earnestly remember the former things which I did of old, for I am God, and there is no one else. I am God, and there is none like me. Get that? If you have to do that for several hours and say, nothing, He alone is God. Yeah. God is God. Amen. I said, God is God. Yeah. No man is God. I don't care who it is. If they wear a turban or if they invent some kind of a rocket ship, they are not God. Yeah. God is God. Don't you get nervous because somebody got on TV and said certain things. Hallelujah. But notice what it says. This is God. He says, there is none like me. Notice the characteristic. Declaring the end and the result from the beginning. And from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, hallelujah, and I will do all my pleasure and purpose. Hallelujah, that's authority. And guess what? We get to partner with God in those things. Is that good or is that good? Hallelujah. Don't let go of your declaration of faith. Hallelujah. So I'm just going to just give a couple examples. We won't be here all night. But 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 9 and 10. I love this story, not only because the guy has a funny name, but because it's a very poignant story. Eleazar, the son of Dodo. I'm sure it's awesome. Hey, brother Dodo, I can't wait to meet you, brother. Yeah, amen. But Eleazar, the son of Dodo. Hallelujah. And in this particular story, it describes that he's one of the three mighty men. And he arose and he smote the Philistines. Verse 10. He smote the Philistines until his hand was what? Weary. And look what it says. And his hand clave to the sword. Hallelujah. And the Lord brought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to plunder. So, you know, I'm going to read from just other verses. And it says that in the Message version, he never let go of his sword. Another translation said that he was, even though basically he was exhausted, praise God, that the sword clung to his hand and he waxed great and strong. So look, we know that the battle it's a fight of faith, is it not? I said it's a fight of faith. Yeah. To live in the land of freedom and from fear, that's a battle of faith. Yeah. To live in the land of more than enough to have your needs met, that's a battle of faith. To have peace in your relationships, that's a faith. To have a healthy marriage, how about to be healthy? How about to be at your proper weight, dear G? That's a fight of faith, man. Yes. And part of your fight of faith, I just thought I'd throw this in there, is you got to get on a program. You got to do a little exercise, right, Mike? You got to do something. So yes, I am practicing what I'm preaching, everybody. I am doing a little exercise. move on to the next point. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Where were we? Oh yeah, Eleazar, the son of Dodo. And so, you know, you got to keep the pressure on. Brother Hagin would say, keep the switch of faith turned on. How do you do that? Well, some of the younger set might say like, what? That doesn't make sense to me. That means keep your faith declarations going and keep your actions aligned with what your purpose is. Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to tell you something that maybe it'll help somebody. You know, in school, I was a very, very good student and got really top grades and everything, but I wasn't the fastest. Like whenever the test would happen, you know, a lot of people would clear out and I'm still filling out the little blue. How many of you remember blue books? That's before, that was way before ChatGPT and all that, right? Anyway, so before computers and all that. Okay, so I'm over here writing the answers to that history test or whatever that was, or if it's a math or whatever it is that I'm doing. And I look around and I still have a half hour to go and everybody's gone. And it's just the professor going like this. It's kind of like, so I was very thorough and I always got A's and everything, but I was slow. I felt like, how in the world could other people get, how, there's no way they could have gotten out so fast and I'm the last one out, you know. But I kept, watch this, I kept saying that, I even gathered some of my family. I says, guys, your dad is very thorough. Very high standard of excellence and everything, but he's also very slow. So I almost felt like the slow ski commercial coming on right there. And I was, no kidding, recently I said, Lord, the days are short, you know, and I need to learn how to redeem the time. Now watch this, we'll learn something, I think. I think we'll learn something. No, I know you'll learn something, confident. I just felt to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to redeem the time. Maybe you can help me to be faster, like to do things. And I am not kidding you. God helped me to do things faster. One day I was going around the house. I was doing so many things. I was doing 4 projects at one time. The timer's going off for this, running to the backyard, running to the front yard, going to this area, doing the laundry, doing the cooking, cooking the pancakes, running back outside, set the timer. It was like really interesting. That was like, wow, it was like that prayer really helped me. Well, now I got to hang on to that and say, thank God. In my own strength, I might be slow. But hallelujah, He's making me fast. Hallelujah. He's making me quick and sharp and have a quick understanding. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I don't know if that helps somebody, but I know a lot of you have to multitask out there. How many multitaskers do we have out there? You can't do one thing at a time. You have to do 2 or 3 or 4, sometimes 5. And you got to have God's help, praise God, to get it, get her done. Hallelujah. Get her done. That reminds me of Reverend Ricky. So look at through faith. Okay, so through faith. Okay. You some wax strong and wax valiant and so forth and so on. I'm going to go ahead for the sake of time and we're going to talk about we're going to talk a little bit in Romans 4:21, the way that we hold fast to our declarations is we have to know. And be fully assured, Romans 4:21, please, yeah. In the Amplified. You have to be fully satisfied and assured that God is able and willing and mighty to keep His word and to do what He has promised. There's no way that I was watching some home runs by Barry Bonds. That guy was amazing. It's like, click, 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 like, wow, wow, wow. I mean, I wish we could have some Barry Bond types today, but we don't. But it was like, he just hit him like clockwork. And when he went to the plate, he went with confidence. Didn't he? And praise the Lord. I think Adamas is getting it. He's kind of hitting. He's pretty good now, right? He's doing pretty good. But we have to know and be fully persuaded of God's word when it's time to pray, when it's time to do life. I said when it's time to do life, fully persuaded that God is able to do what He said He was going to do. Even if it's a little beyond you, because it's not just you. It's Him and His anointing in you. You got to believe in the anointing. I said you've got to believe in the anointing, the word and the anointing. And be fully persuaded, praise the Lord. So here's the thing, if you're not fully persuaded, what will happen is you'll waver. And I know I'm preaching to a faith bunch, but we've got to talk about these things because we've been encouraged to examine ourselves to see whether we really are in faith or not. Are you really? Are you really in faith? Let me just read something. We'll read, first of all, from James chapter 1, verse 5 through 7 in the KJV. If any of you, let's talk about wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask how? In faith. You might say confidently. nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. I got to say that again. Let not that person or that man think that he shall receive anything. You have to know. You have to be fully assured. Amen. So what does it mean to waver? To play or to move to and fro, to move one way, then take another position, to fluctuate, be unsettled, to vacillate, to be undetermined and to waver. I guarantee you when Bonds came to the plate, he wasn't wondering, well, I really don't know. I don't know if I should stand this way or stand that way. He wasn't thinking about that. He was so trained and so ready. Talking about what Pastor Mark was treating us. We got to be ready. You got to be ready to activate and loose your faith at any time, at a moment's notice. Yes. I said at a moment's notice. Yeah. You don't wait until the water heater blows out before you say, oh God, please meet our needs. We're barely making it. You can't wait till the symptoms start coming on your body. You have to build yourself up so that you're ready to respond immediately. Ready, ready, ready.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be ready. Be ready with your faith. Be ready to take dominion. No guessing here. Hallelujah. So another thing about wavering is to totter or reel to be, I'm going to not go there. Well, actually, I will go there. A waver is a name given to a sapling or young timber tree in England. Why am I bringing that up? Because Brother Moore talked about, you know, those big redwoods. How did they get that big? Because they stayed in the same place and they stayed planted. Pastor said, in the house of our God, Psalm 92, ladies and gentlemen, they stayed, they stuck it out. And now I'll make a plug for my church. How many of you love your church? I love my church. Amen. Make a plug for this.
Hallelujah.
People, I'll guarantee you, I'm in my little life, and I'm not old, but I'm older. And I see people that hop from one church to the other and from one thing to the other one and the other one and then the other one and then the other one and well maybe so and the other special meeting and maybe that person has a special word and guys the word said planted in the house. That means roots that go down. Hallelujah. I am looking at some saints in this house that have been here for decades. And if I might say so, we age quite well. Thank you very much. I keep going to 80-year-old birthdays and 90-year-old birthdays and 91 and 92-year-old birthdays. And like, well, that's all right, man. And by the way, 80's looking less and less old to me these days. I'm just saying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're not to waver. If you're wavering, you're like that young timber tree. You're like bending and slopping and the root comes right up. But we're like redwoods planted, right? Yeah. Actually, the pastor did a great job. It was cedars, actually, the cedars of Lebanon. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. Don't get legalistic on me. Hallelujah, somebody. Come on. So fluctuating on your declaration of faith. Fluctuating. I like to bring this example up. Like when you're working on a project that has bolts. Oh boy, here we go, one of those. And so you're doing it backwards. The bolt is on the other side. And so you put the wrench there and you go this way. Now, righty, righty, lefty, loosey, lefty. Okay, this way. And it's not budging. So then what do? You change direction. Well, maybe it was the other way. Okay. You go the other way and you push the other way and you push the other way. And they go, you know, that's not budging either. Maybe it was the other way. And you start pushing the other. That's a push me, pull you Christian. Hey, wait to pray until you hear from heaven, okay? Wait till you hear from heaven. Get the wisdom of God. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And if you don't know nothing else, I'll stand in front of Pastor Brenda because she encourages us all the time. Pray in the Holy Ghost. What about Romans chapter 8? I love Romans chapter 8. I love it. He says the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities because we don't know how to pray as we ought. We don't know how to offer a prayer worthily, as it says in the Amplified. But, it says the Holy Ghost does. And he says that he helps our infirmities. And he makes supplication for the saints according to the will of the perfect will of the Father. Yeah. So, you know, I found myself praying the Holy Ghost a whole lot. And if you would pray in the Holy Spirit a whole lot, you'll find that things start working out. And if you ask for interpretation, the Lord will let you in on some of the things. Hallelujah. I've had some real big miracles come through with just praying in the Holy Spirit because I didn't know what to do. That's the best time to pray in the Holy Spirit. Remember Romans chapter 8, man. You pray in the Holy Spirit and then all of a sudden, just listen to what comes out of your mouth. It might surprise you. Hallelujah! A scripture will come up, or a direction, or a word, or a phrase. And it's absolutely amazing. Hallelujah. God is good. I said God is good. Never stop your declaration of faith regarding your family. Amen. I understand life throws curveballs. And I understand that we're in a fallen world. But it would be better for you to fight the good fight of faith and go on having fought the good fight of faith than just giving up and say, oh, well. Amen. Oh, well. Now, understand this. People have their own will, right? You can't force people to do anything, but you sure can bind the devil. And you could pray God, Lord, I ask you, I send laborers across their path in the name of Jesus. Whatever voices are the wrong voices, I take authority over the spirits that are operating through there. And I pray that eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. Come on. Well, isn't that witchcraft? No, it's intercession. Lord, I pray mercy over my family, over my kids. You know that they're not always in the best place at the right time. I'm happy to tell you that in many cases, I've seen the hand of the Lord move on family members. It is absolutely supernatural. Absolutely. And you didn't preach one iota to them. And maybe they might even be out of church. But the next thing you find out is like, well, so-and-so got their act together. We're like, oh, praise God. You know, thank you, Jesus. God is good. The effectual, fervent prayer continued. Prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Making what kind of power? Tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. So the next time the devil tells you it ain't working, you just let him know, oh, excuse me, it says dynamic and it's working. It's working. Hallelujah. Somebody say that, but you have to do it with a little attitude. It's working. It's working. Hallelujah. God is working. God is working. I want you to know something. Full assurance is a very, very rare commodity. I'm calling it full assurance. We call it absolutes. So in the world of academia, you know, you have your premises and your conclusions. And then the moment that you enter into higher education, you learn not to just say all and every and always. You have to be a little more careful because people want your premises and your conclusions. And they try to find all the exceptions to whatever is happening, right? And so, but on the other hand, I said on the other hand, it's almost as though you have, I don't know about everybody else and why this didn't work for brother and sister so-and-so. Yeah. All I know is that I have a relationship with God. And number one, I'm holding on to Him. Yeah. Number two, I'm holding on to His covenant. Yeah. I'm seeking in His face. And number three, I'm going to hang on to that altar. And number four, I'm going to make the declarations as I'm inspired by the Spirit of God to do. Yeah. I'm not just running off saying whatever just because I found some scripture that rhymes and so now it's anointed. No, it's not. Just because it rhymes doesn't make it anointed. But it is anointed when it's touched by the Spirit of God. And you know the difference. The people in this church know the difference between the anointing and something that's just a cutesy-tootsy rhyme. Come on. They walk in here, they could sense like, wow, That's really a great little church you got there. And we love this place. Yes. Why do we love this place? Because we cooperate with the anointing of God. The praying is anointed. Tomorrow's prayer at noon in here. Isn't it, Pastor Caleb? Love the way Pastor Caleb prays. The teaching is anointed. It's led by God. The worship, we invite His anointing. Come on, everybody. Hallelujah. And even the fellowships are anointed. The various small groups are anointed. There are purposes in God, like Second Wind. Where's Brian and Linda? I know you're here. Well, Brian's at the booth over there. Where's Linda? There you are. Praise the Lord. Even going and winning at Scrabble is anointed. Hallelujah. I think the pizza was anointed. Okay, I'm getting off base. Hallelujah. I want to finish with this. The story of the Shunammite woman. And I'm going to call this the lady that held on. I'm not going to read the whole thing because I'm closing in a couple minutes. But basically, remember that the prophet would go by there and she recognized the presence of God. I'm just paraphrasing here. And she made room for him by literally building an addition to the house. And went up and said, you know, I noticed that this is a man of God. And she said, come and rest yourself here and come over here. You have to make room for the anointing. Yes. You have to be confident in the anointing. Assured of the anointing of God. Hallelujah. And so what happened was, too, is that she literally made a room in her life. She made a room for the anointing. And then the prophets, you know, said to her that you're going to have a son and so forth. And then she had the son, which was really a miracle. Somebody say miracle. But when adversity struck, she held on to her word of blessing by the word of her profession. She said, it shall be well. Now, listen to me, Christian. I understand. We pray for you guys. We have, you know, information that many of you have shared with us. There's a lot of things you're hurting in your bodies. You're hurting in your relationships. We get that. We get that. But we're praying. We're praying. And I'm going to tell you, there's no better game in town. There's no other game. This is it. You get to the throne of God and you stand in the gap and you declare what you need to declare. Praise the Lord. And you stay there and you stand there having done all to stand, says in Ephesians. What it says, stand there for. But it's hard, Pastor Tom. Yeah. And the Apostle Paul said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I wish it was a picnic. I really wish it was a cruise, but it's not. It's not a cruise. It's not a picnic. It's a fight. Yes. And we've been called and equipped to fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. Not fight each other. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen as I'm getting ready to close? Amen. Hallelujah. And so she hung on to her word of her confession, and she went and she said, it shall be well. Is that right? Yes. It shall be well. What happened? Of course, the prophet came. God likes tenacious people. He really does. I'm not letting go until I get an answer. God loves that. I mean, it's kind of like, sick him, sick him. He loves that. He loves it when we come up to him, we grab onto his leg and we say, God, I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go. You get up the next day. I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go. Hallelujah. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Amen, somebody. But there's another part of it too. And that is that, did you know that that wasn't the end of the story? Did you know that 7 years later, well, the Philistines came in, took over her land. Not only did she get her son back, she had to leave because there was a raid and whatnot. But when she came back, she lost all of her property. And she went before the king. And many of you are going like, yeah. And it's a wonderful story how that it was being read, the history of something. And there was a woman, hey, that's the lady right there. Oh, my goodness. And the king restored to her all of her land. Restoration is there for you.
Yes.
Stand in the gap. Don't you let go of your declaration. And it's not just for yourself. It's for one another. Hallelujah. Declaration over the state. Declaration over your nation, over the schools. Hallelujah. Declaration over your church and the churches. The church. Not just our church. The church. We're outside-minded around here. We pray over churches everywhere. This is the church's finest hour. Though gross darkness covers the earth, yet what's going to happen? They're going to see the light. They shall come to the light. Arise, shine, he said, for your light has come. How many of you feel encouraged to hang on? Hang on. Hang on to your profession, your declaration of faith. God loves it. And so back, just in closing, you've got to know what to hold on to. And you've got to know what to let go of. Well, your declaration of faith definitely is not something you want to let go of. Never, never back off. No deals with the devil. This is the way it's going to be, thus and so. Declare the end from the beginning. Declare debt free. Speak to the walls in this place. Call them debt free. Speak to the walls in your house. Call it debt free in the name of Jesus. Speak to your body. And by the way, it's not that your body is carrying around your spirit. No, it's your spirit that's carrying around your body. Your spirit is strong. Hallelujah. It says the strong spirit of a man will do what? Sustain him, will lift him up through infirmity. Hallelujah. So praise God. I feel encouraged tonight. How about you? I feel encouraged to take up a fresh look at my declarations of faith. Hallelujah. If you have to, write them down. Seek after them and get your prayer projects going. Hallelujah. If you're married, then definitely get on the same page with your spouse regarding your family and whatever it is that the Lord has. If you're single, then pray and find yourself a prayer buddy. Hallelujah. Is that right, Pastor Brenda? And if and every chance you get into the corporate anointing like tomorrow at noon where we're going to have prayer encounter. Hallelujah.